I will do motion and then the motion.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm pleased to call to order the 1,339th meeting of the Board of Directors of Metro WMATA. Our first order of business is to attend to our public comment period, and we have two people who have signed up for public comment, both of whom are very prominent contributors in the District of Columbia, I might add. The first is Eric Gilliland, who is here on behalf of the Washington Area Bicyclists Association on the subject of the Shady Grove path. Mr. Gilliland, we'll hear your comment now. Thank you very much, Mr. Gilliland. I am advised that this matter has been resolved satisfactorily. Do you see it that way?
I think the meeting that we had yesterday with the planners on site from WMATA and Montgomery County and DOS was very encouraging. I hope that I'm not aware of exactly what the permit calls for and whether this part of being absent from the original presentation to the board is a factor.
Mr. Benjamin.
But I believe what you said at the end is that you believe that we should approve and move forward based upon yesterday's discussions.
We certainly don't want to delay the project any longer than it's already been delayed, but we just ask that this board examine be sure to include the spur trail crossing and allow staff to work out designs that are safer.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gilliland. And now we have our next public commenter is someone who for a number of years represented Capitol Hill and adjacent areas in the Council of the District of Columbia. I'm very pleased to have Councilmember Nadine Winter with us. Ms. Winter was here, I saw. Oh, here she comes, all right. Take your time.
Started in the building today only enhanced what I wanted lobby or something, so people who are crippled, old people can come inside the building. When I came down here 2 weeks ago, there were 7 people with canes in front of me, and they were trying to get passes, and so I went back and got in the cab and went home. Now, I want to say you have some of the best staff in the United States. They finally...
Well, Councilmember, you are as effective as ever in your presentation. the clarity and prudence that you have given us today. Here's your pocketbook. It was ringing before, so you knew where it was. But I'm going to ask, Mr. Cato, do we have a staff member who can meet with Councilmember Winter? Here we go. Here's our Director of Metro Access. He's going to meet with you. Can you meet now? Do you have a couple of minutes?
I have a couple of minutes.
Could you meet on the specifics? Because we want to be sure that all of those issues are attended to.
And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
One of the most effective councilmembers.
Okay. You want to say that on the microphone? we have all the time you need for these things. All right, now we go, just a little levity, we'll need it. We now go to the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So
it's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman and seconded by Mrs. Hudson. Is there discussion on that matter? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. We now have the minutes from February 26th. 2009 board meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read?
So moved.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Giancola. Is there a discussion on the minutes? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it and the minutes are approved. Now we go to the minutes. Oh, we should have included March 12th. I didn't see that. So do we have a similar motion on March 12th, special board meeting minutes?
So moved.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin, seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the March 12, 2009 special board meeting minutes are approved. We now go to our report by our Writers Advisory Council. We're delighted to have the chair of the Writers Advisory Council. Ms. Zinkel, will you come to the podium, please?
Very much that
Thank you very much, Chairperson Zinkel. We appreciate all of what you contribute to this, most definitely. I do want to ask you if you would communicate to the RAC. I'm going to be calling it the RAC because I find RAC to be a kind of a medieval reference. I hope you will communicate to the RAC the new rule change that this board has adopted, which encourages RAC members to come and provide public comment at the committee meetings at the discretion of, obviously at the discretion of the chair of the committee, because the chair knows what the schedule is like and so forth. But I would hope that you would, if you haven't, that you would communicate that to them.
Yeah, I've encouraged our members to come to meetings as much as possible, but it is very challenging because many of us, of course, have full-time 9-to-5 jobs, and we do have a few folks who moved down to retirement, but unfortunately keep themselves very busy during the day as well. But that is something that I hope to do as much as possible this year, and I'm trying to encourage all RAC members to do as well.
Thank you very much. Are there questions or comments from the board? Mr. McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We spoke this morning about the Next Bus program and were reassured what the launch date would be. And you raised a question about whether or not there would be a beta test or something done ahead of time. And I'd like to get a staff reaction to that.
Well, actually, we're doing some of the beta testing today. But by the time we roll this out, we expect for the system to be working at a level that the public will be very satisfied with it.
Okay, so the beta testing that is taking place now is being done how?
It's being handled by the firm that owns NextBus, really provides the information. They have a website that where they're testing their information. But I believe I want to answer for you, but I'm not sure that you were requesting anything different than that.
The RAC is interested in is having public input into the beta test so that members of the public who aren't on a day-to-day basis engaged in the project and are viewing it from the arm's length perspective of a rider who's not an NextBus or WMATA employee can provide input into the project before it goes live for all WMATA riders.
There will be full participation by the RAC in the Next Bus testing activities. We took very much to heart, Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Benjamin, your observations on the web project that we did and are really embracing the RAC into our activities, and that was one of the reasons that Rob Kramer came to give you an update in the March timeframe. We are looking at the June timeframe for a full implementation, and from March to June, the RAC will be, it is our intention that they march along with us on all of those pre-implementation activities.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Just to follow up on that, I'm glad to hear that there's going to be some recourse to the Riders Council members in testing this development. But I think that the motion that was passed at the Riders Council was going to the question of the availability now of the data that's on a website that's being used internally, and the fact that at some point it was possible for people from the outside to get on it who wanted to try it and see what how it was, and that was taken down.
Yes.
And the question, and I think the motivation behind the motion at the Writers Council was, hey, why not let us onto the thing as we were? Why close it? Because then people from the outside can provide comments, can see how it works. You're not guaranteeing anything. It's use at your own risk because it is beta, to use the parlance. But why not leave it open the way it was until somebody shut it down a couple of months ago?
And someone, thank you, Mr. Chairman, someone mentioned as well, this is really doing your beta testing now when Microsoft does its beta testing. They allow, just as you say, people to come on. But beta testing for us is a very, very much more slender process than the beta testing for Microsoft. When a Microsoft does beta testing, it has been strenuous, it has been rigorous, it has been long and deep. And everyone understands that when you are a beta customer, you are a commercial, sophisticated customer who, just as you say, gets what they get, and actually are invited by companies like Microsoft. Problems out of the month prior to full commercialization. In the project that we are doing, there is, I think, reasonable risk that the people who would use that, would use those materials, would not be of that sophistication, would not have that understanding, and there is attendant enough risk that firestorms of claims of inaccuracy would arise, that I am very wary to do that. It is March. We will have the full implementation in June. The appearance of that data originally was in error of the vendors. It should not have been made available. It is atypical for those kinds of systems to have pre-implementation data available. We need to make certain, and I want to make certain, that that data is accurate, the system is accurate, before we make it first available to the public. It is, there's simply too much risk because we aren't commercialized enough in our beta testing to have counterparties who understand their full responsibilities.
Mr. Chairman, I won't belabor this, but you know, I think that I appreciate that very candid expression of staff's view on this matter. The first I really heard in any public forum, but I will say that I think that some of the running dialogue that's been going on between, you know, a segment of the public that is particularly attuned to the use of web tools and this organization. Has been about the question of, you know, when is it okay to show something, and a critique on the part of that segment, which in fact is now represented specifically by a member of the Writers' Council who offered the motion. Critique has been that, you know, Metro's view is basically to not risk anything, to get everything perfect before it goes out, and I think that we just heard confirmation of that. I mean, I think you heard an honest and sincere expression of that viewpoint, that Metro shouldn't put anything out until it's really, really right and good. And the view of folks in this world is that, you know, it's really better to not try to do it that way, because, in fact, on the web, you don't get things perfect until you have a lot of input anyway. And if you try to wait till you get it perfect, you'll never get it out there. And that's why Metro is slow in implementing a lot of these things. And I just want to say, Mr. Chairman, that I think that I'm coming to the view that that's a valid criticism. I can see for certain things that's true, particularly where safety is actually involved. It's hard for me to see what the risk is that I might go onto the web, look into some, you know, some site that's supposedly predicting when the bus will arrive, and it could turn out to be wrong. Especially if it's, you know, right up front, it's not in, I'm not getting in through the main Metro website because it's not ready to be there yet. I have enough sophistication to have found out how to get in, and whatever I do there tells me this is, you know, being tested. We don't promise there's anything accurate about it. And the worst that happens is my bus doesn't arrive when it said it was going to arrive. And when I'm standing there at the bus stop now, I don't have anybody telling me when the bus stop is going to arrive. I just know it's not arriving when the schedule told me it was going to arrive. I don't really see that there's a risk here. I think we're more nervous than we need to be, and I think I now understand a little bit better the nature of this discourse. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Hutchins, and then followed by Mr. Brown.
Well, I'm sort of timid in jumping into this because I don't want to give the impression that I'm not interested in seeing the public as engaged in the process of developing this tool, but I think. And when you mentioned Microsoft, I became a larger concern there, because there is an environment in which people will operate and they get unfinished products and get a chance to opine on them. I don't think we have a Metro, a Microsoft staff here that is the time to be engaged at the most basic steps of that development. And I just want to clarify with you, are you saying that at some level of the development stage you are willing to allow the testing product to be exposed to the public and them engaged in it, but that level is at a point when you have a comfort level of what you've produced? And I think there is a difference there. We see it every day in Microsoft, and actually I think it's the worst kind, because I pay for a product and I really want a good product, and I don't want an unfinished product, and everyone is not at the level of making that judgment whether it's finished or not. And I just want the message to go here that I believe that as a board we would like to convey that we want our public involved in as much of a level, and that is in developing the scope of what you're going to do. But I think there is a fallacy in the fact that you can put things up and assume that it will do no harm to Metro, because it means that our staff will need to respond, and they need to have the time to respond. And they will be putting out fires that they should have put out in the closure of their development process rather than in the exposure of the entire public. And I think there's a difference here, and I think we can respond to the public's need of involvement once you've gotten to some point that it does not engage your staff inappropriately in resolving issues.
I think both yours and and I think a good jumping off point between those two very valid observations is the utilization of Zurak in that process, because they have both sides of the equations there. They are very experienced, knowledgeable transportation drivers and understand those responsibilities. We also can quickly tutor them in their responsibilities as beta testers, and we can also reserve the slender incremental resource that would be necessary to take knowledgeable, experienced people who understand what their responsibilities are in this area that will allow us to get.
Now we're going to go to Mr. Brown and then back to Ms. Zinkel. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this question? Because otherwise that will conclude this discussion. Mr. Brown.
Good morning. How are you? It was nice seeing you at the statehood meeting the other day. Thank you for coming. Clearly there's been a little spike in some crimes down on in our public transportation system. And I don't think it's a surprise to anybody with the economic downturn. Have you made any kind of recommendations, or is RAC going to make any recommendations to us on what we can do about that in the future?
Well, it hadn't been on our agenda, but we can certainly consider it.
Okay. Well, you're the ones that are affected by it the most,
yeah.
Obviously. So if you do come up with some, please share them with us.
Yes. I will definitely bring that issue to the RAC, and we're happy to work
Thank you very much, Chairperson Zinkel. We appreciate your contribution. And now we go, thank you. We go to the next item on the agenda, which is the report by the chairman. No report. We go to the general manager. We go to the general manager for his report.
And my report will be short, Mr. Chair. As you have heard in the prior meeting, we're moving out of the Arlington garage, and tomorrow's the last day we will be running buses there. Last week, we opened a permanent sales facility at the Anacostia Metro Rail Station, and it will serve not only the 8,000 riders a day on the Green Line, but it's one of the busiest metro bus bay areas with more than 20 metro buses stopping at the station and about 12,000 metro passengers. Speaking of data and availability, earlier this week we made the technical data on the metro rail and metro bus routes, stops, and schedules available for download from our website. And the information can be used by anyone who wishes to put together a computer application. We just have, want to make sure that they agree to the terms of the use and that we will be held exempt from the liability or the limits of whoever develops and new applications for the information. Again, services will begin on the S9 on 16th Street, and we will be having a celebration Monday to add additional rush hour services to Metro's third busiest line, which attracts 16,000 riders a day. We will be using new blue and silver hybrid electric buses with the Express branding, which will be have their kickoff on the S9 route. I hope that you will join Mr. Graham and myself on Monday in cutting the ribbon for this new services, and this route will run from Silver Spring to the McPherson Square Metro Rail Station. The last part is I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Francis so he can highlight some extraordinary Metro employees, just as we did last month, again, to recognize the winners, and that's an understatement, the winners of the Safety Awards program.
Thank you, Mr. Cato. If I can have Chairman Mr. Graham join Mr. Cato in the center of the room. As we did last month in our employee spotlight segment, we are continuing to recognize the winners of the Safety Award Program that we began last month. This award program identifies the top safety performers in different categories. Those were the Road Star awardees, the Safety Service Star awardees, Rail Star awardees, and the Rising Star awardees. Last month, we honored a number of the Road Stars, and today we will be honoring the remaining Bronze Road Star awardees. In order to be qualified for the Bronze Star Award, the recipients had to meet demanding criteria. First and foremost, they had to drive at least 1 million miles without a preventable accident. As impressive as that accomplishment is, it wasn't enough for them to qualify. Each of our recipients has a record free of any Metro rules, procedures, and violations, a record free of any disciplinary actions, and a record free of any work-related injuries, and an exemplary record of attendance. The Metro employees you are about to meet are the cream of the crop. They're examples to each of us as a result of their reliability and their dedication. To the awardees of the Road Star Awards, I want to say thank you. And as I call your names, please join Chairman Graham and Mr. Cato at the center of the room. They will present you with a certificate and will take a moment for a photo opportunity. So please join me in recognizing Ms. Alice Headley. I'll take it. Okay. Mr. Napoleon Hilliard. Mr. Allen M. Johnson. Mr. Kenneth J. Lee. Mr. Robert L. McMillan. Mr. John B. Moulton, Jr. Mr. John C. Nelson. Mr. Russell Nutt. Mr. Reginald Patterson. Mr. Andre Rodriguez. Mr. Edward Spears. Mr. Robert Squirewell, I hope I pronounced that right. Mr. William Swan. And Mr. Willie Brett.
Thank you very much, Mr. Francis. Thank you very much, Mr. Cato. And on behalf of a grateful board of directors, let's have another round of applause for these fine. All right. Mr. Cato, do you have anything further?
Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. And now we proceed to the report. Let's see now here. I have been remiss in saying that in the absence of Deputy Mayor Neil Albert, Mr. Giancola will be casting the second vote from the District of Columbia throughout this meeting. Now we go to the Finance, Administration, and Oversight Committee. Mr. Benjamin.
I'm reporting the results of our committee meeting earlier today, and our major focus was on closing our budget gap. As you remember, we started out with a budget gap of about $154 million. We were able, through many, many steps and many items in our previous hearings, to bring that down to $29 million. We finally are focusing on that last $29 million. That was the subject of discussion today in that committee meeting. And as a result of that, we do have a proposal, and I therefore move that the board authorize a series of public hearings on the proposed changes in bus service as shown in attachment A in your books. And I would just note parenthetically that we do need to make a slight adjustment to that to add the NH1 route, which was in error left off that particular attachment, and an across-the-board fare increase of up to 5 cents.
We need a second for that. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin, seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none. All those in favor, please raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? That proposal is defeated. And let me say, just for those of you who might be wondering why a vote of 4-2 is insufficient, under the compact of this authority, no action, and I'm reading directly from our compact, no action by the board shall be effective unless a majority of the board present and voting. Seconded by Mr. Giancarlo.
Mr. Chairman.
May I first... and substantially more detail than shown in attachment A, and that the revised listings be given to the board members to review before being disseminated to the public. Thank you very much, Mr. Benjamin. Mr. Zimmerman?
Mr. Chairman, should I understand the motion as incorporating the resolution that was provided to us, or is the resolution not in play?
I believe this resolution does, in fact, say what the motion said. Is there a difference?
I don't know the substantive difference. I don't think they're in contradiction. Should I understand that we are acting on this resolution?
That was the intent of the committee.
Your motion was a shorthand way of summarizing what is in this resolution.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, I would like to propose a couple of amendments to the resolution. First, while Mr. Benjamin said earlier that, you know, we've reduced this down to $29 million or whatever, I would differ with that slightly in that I would say that the board hasn't done anything on a budget yet. All we've seen is a manager's proposal and a series of recommendations for closing the gap that would exist otherwise, to which it could be said the board has given tacit approval. But we haven't acted on anything. So this is the first time we are sending something out. And in my view, what we're sending out is a proposal now from the board as a way of dealing with the fiscal year 2010 budget. And the closing a budget gap of not $29 million, but $154 million. As I said in previous weeks, the things that we would do in there to take care of that $154 million gap are not insignificant. and they do have various impacts that will affect the experience riders have. I don't think it is correct to say that the first 100 and whatever that was, 25 million or 30 million, involved no service, no impact on service. It might be said that that there are no major impacts on service, but the things we're doing all impact service. The buses that I rode on this morning that, you know, were bunched together, we hoped to deal with last year, for instance, by having more street supervisors. We didn't hire them. That is, the manager didn't hire them, even though they were authorized, because of the budget problem. And now he's proposing to eliminate those positions altogether. Again, I'm not criticizing that. I understand the reason. But that means that people on that bus route aren't going to see improvement in that problem we have. And the reductions that are otherwise included in here also will have impacts on service. Now, it may be that this is the minimal way to impact service, given the fact that we got a hole of $154 million. But nonetheless, these are all things which I think riders have a right to comment upon. And I say again that my view is we ought to be having a hearing on the budget. And we ought to be welcoming people's comments, not just on what is now, because of the last action, an attempt to reduce the remaining gap on the bus side, but welcoming their comments on any aspect of this. We should be having a hearing on the budget. I would suggest that in the first resolve clause, we insert, after the words, series of public hearings on, the words, the proposed fiscal year 2010 budget, comma, including the, then continue, proposed changes in bus service as shown, blah, blah, blah. That would make more clear that we are interested in hearing from our customers not only about changes in bus service that we are contemplating, but overall their view on the budget, which in which context their views of bus changes might be different too, because someone might say, I don't like the bus changes, but you know, you got to make this budget work, and maybe this is less painful than other things you had been considering doing. But they can tell us whatever it is they feel. But I believe we should make clear that we are welcoming their comments on the budget as a whole, and I move that as an amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Zimmerman. Let's get the exact language so we understand what we're voting on.
Yes, in the first resolve clause,
go ahead.
After the words, we'll conduct a series of public hearings on, I would insert the words, the proposed fiscal year 2010 budget, comma, including the.
That is an amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
I'm sorry.
Which has been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins, moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there discussion? Mr. Cato, did you want to say something?
Just to make sure I understand, and I've had some discussions with legal counsel, and I'm not saying this is negative, I just want to make you aware that if we do this, then we must set up public hearings in every jurisdiction, which would include Fairfax. And so that would modify
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I understand that. We have to have hearings in each of the signatories. So we would have to have a hearing in Maryland, a hearing in D.C., a hearing in Virginia. We could have more than one hearing in each of those. I believe we are currently planning to have six hearings, two in each signatory jurisdiction.
That's true. You're correct. You're correct.
So I don't think it changes the requirement.
You're correct.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Further discussion? Mrs. Hutchins?
I second the motion because I think in principle it really reflects to me the way we should work with our budget. We invite our public to provide input into this budget process, and I think by opening the budget up widely so that we can hear from the public as well as share with the public in a much more informed way the actual challenges that we face and how we wish to make our service a regional service of quality and how they can help us reach that. The task that we have after that is to actually approve a budget. We can construct that in any manner that we choose based upon the input we've received and based upon the information we've shared with our public. If this motion goes forward, I have no challenges in having a budget hearing in Fairfax or any other area if we're going to open the entire budget process up to that. But the way it stands as the prior vote has gone, this is not what we have talked about and it's not where we've reached agreement. If we can reach agreement on that today, that's just fine with me. But it is about the budget that has been proposed by the general manager with anything that we want to offer. But we are not at a point of approving anything, and we don't approve until we hear from our public. That's just the general process that I'm comfortable with. So so that there's clarity as to my position on that, I wanted to make sure that I shared that input.
Mr. Benjamin.
Philosophically, I agree with the proposal for this change. I did want to ask the general manager, this will obviously require you to put together some additional materials that are in a form that the public can understand them about the budget. Will you be able to do that in a time frame that does not unduly delay the process of getting this out to public hearing?
Well, the term unduly delay, I wouldn't say that, but it will delay. We would not be able to get, I don't believe we would have sufficient data. There are some issues that we have, and maybe we will not discuss here in public session, on the budget, that it would take us time to put the materials together. We have the basic materials, but if you want detail, depends to the degree of detail. We can put out what we have today, but it won't give you the degree of detail that you requested before. But having said that, we can still do the process.
And can you do that process in such a way that by April 30th, I think was the date that you had, you would be able to come back to a special meeting of the Finance Committee?
I see everyone shaking their head yes.
Mr. Chairman.
It's okay.
Let me go to Mr. Solomon. Mr. McKay, is there discussants down here? First round. Okay, Mr. Solomon. Is your microphone on?
Budget. But I wanted to get some clarification on an amendment that Mr. Benjamin made to add or include NH1 to the list. And as I understand it, NH1 is National Harbor One, and I want to know what is being proposed because I haven't seen any material on that amendment and that bus line being added to the list, so I need to know what's being proposed.
Mr. Hughes, have a seat, please. Identify yourself for the record, and we can do this in a very orderly way.
I apologize. I'm Jim Hughes from Planning and would respond directly to the question. In the proposal to us that was in the attachment that you saw this morning, there was a proposal to reroute the terminus of the NH1 from Southern Avenue to Branch Avenue. Similarly, we were doing that with the P13M. It's in the proposal. We left it out of the attachment, so we want to bring that to the public so we can get a comment on that specific proposal.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Solomon. Mr. McKay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This morning when I asked the question about, you know, no bus cuts in Fairfax, would that require a public hearing or not, it made sense to me not to have a public hearing because there's nothing to have a public hearing on. We don't have bus cuts. But I think if we're extending this to a larger budget discussion, I understand the point about what you have to do in the different jurisdictions, but I don't know how you don't have at least one public hearing in each of the jurisdictions if you're widening this net to discuss the budget. I'm not comfortable if we're going to talk about a larger issue involving the budget and not having a hearing in Fairfax County, because now we will be getting input on other things in addition to the bus cuts. And so I just want, you know, no matter how this vote goes, it's just my position that if you're doing this on a larger budget issue, just in principle, you should at least have one hearing in each of the jurisdictions so that each of them can be heard from.
Let me, if I may, remind everyone that you and I have to remind myself, too, because you have to turn on your microphone, and there's more. You have to turn it off so that you don't have the microphone on all the time, because you may not benefit from that. So but we have a new microphone system which occurred under our predecessor. Is there further discussion on this motion, Mr. Zimmerman?
Mr. Chairman, I've always believed that any jurisdiction that says we want to have a hearing in our jurisdiction should have it. You know, and I don't think there's any question about that. So, you know, any of my colleagues feel that, and I would say that I would expect that the hearing in my jurisdiction, regardless of what we were doing, which is why I was planning to hold them one way or the other, because we need to hear from our public. But at the same time, of course, people don't have to only go to the hearing in their jurisdiction. They can go to any of them. And I, you know, I fully expect that when we hold one in Arlington, we're going to get people from Alexandria and Fairfax, because we always do. Having them conveniently located on the Metro Rail system, people get off and talk to us from other jurisdictions as well. I would hope that we wouldn't make this harder than it needs to be. In particular, while any new materials that are easy to understand about the budget from the staff would be welcome, the fact is, all of this stuff is already on the public record. It's already out there. It's been reported on for the last couple of months. And to my knowledge, all of these documents are available now on our website. So, you know, the main thing I would say that should be put out is a link so that everybody knows where they can find the documents. And that's what's subject to hearing. Again, if there's any kind of summary material that, you know, most of it, again, they already did because they did it for us so we could understand it. So I don't think this should be turned into a major project. I don't believe anything needs to come back to a committee. I think all you need to do is put out the notice pointing people to the place where all the relevant documents are.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none. Oh, let me just say, did you say there would be a delay associated with this? We're still going to be able, if we take Mr. Zimmerman's approach, won't we be able to act very expeditiously on this?
Yes, there's two reasons why. Just what he stated just a moment ago about putting the link to the website. Second, we do not have the same posting requirements, but we want to make sure we get the information out. So after discussions, because this came up just a moment ago, we still believe we can make the dates. It means that we have to get the information out to you this afternoon, any changes on the posting for the service reductions, back tomorrow for posting the newspapers by 2 p.m. tomorrow. But the rest of it is pretty simple right now.
Ms. Hewlett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would agree with Mr. Zimmerman. It doesn't have to be any more difficult. But can you just do a summary? And also, would that entail a brief budget overview then at the respective public hearings? Just a mini presentation, as opposed to just a document, or will we have a document like a?
We will have some documents at certain locations, but we initially would just say about contacting the website and what locations it will be at. But we will not be posting this document on our vehicles, like we're going to be doing with the service change. But we will come up with a solution. We're still thinking it through right now.
Okay. I just meant, like, even if it's a five-minute summary of the budget at the public hearing.
Okay. At the public hearing?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Solomon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Something just came to mind I wanted to raise. This concept, and I think Mr. Zimmerman is right, doesn't have to be difficult, but it's adding a new element to this whole discussion that Ms. Kathy was talking about. We need to vet this some before we talk about this, and we haven't really vetted yet. I think everybody's getting that impression now. Plus, from my perspective, and all of the jurisdictions have a little slight difference, but to be clear, if we add this bigger budget discussion to these public hearings, then the service cut is going to be glossed over, and nobody's going to pay attention to the impact to the public. And that's what we're talking about. We want to talk about the service cut, the impact to the pub, and not add this bigger issue here where it would be glossed over. Thank you.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Further discussion. Let me just hear the language one more time, Mr. Zimmerman. So I can...
I'll read the whole clause as it would be with the additional language. So it's a resolve that, in accordance with Section 62 of the Pomona Compact, the Board of Directors will conduct a series of public hearings on the proposed fiscal year 2010 budget, comma, including the proposed changes in bus services shown in Attachment A to this resolution.
Well, Mr. Zimmerman, may I make a friendly change in this by saying that what we'd really be inviting comment on is the general manager's proposed. Because we have not voted on any budget.
You're quite correct. I should have included those words.
Yes.
So let's say that we're putting out the general manager's proposed budget, because we haven't given our seal of approval yet to that. Okay, so does everyone understand, the change in the Zimmerman amendment? All right, so further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Mr. Zimmerman?
I was going to suggest also that we insert a short passage asking for the comments of the Riders' Council on the proposals as well.
I think that's assumed, but we can certainly, it's salutary, but we can put it in.
I was going to propose it before the penultimate resolved clause, but I'm not fussy about it one way or another. Right. I just think we do want to make explicit the fact that we actually do want and expect the Riders' Council to bring us their comments on all of this.
Well, we certainly do. And so if you feel the need to have that included, I don't think any, would anyone object to that?
Would not object to including that in the resolution as moved.
Right. So without objection, that particular thought will be incorporated before the penultimate resolve clause. Okay? Is there further discussion on the motion? Further discussion? I just want to say one thing. That I want to say how much I appreciate, just speaking for myself, the fact that the jurisdictions at this table, and not everybody could do it, but six jurisdictions at this table have come up with $16 million in new jurisdictional subsidies to support this remaining element of the budget gap. This is the $29 million. Others have pointed out that this is not the $154 million we started with, but the remaining $29 million has been supported in terms of closing that gap by $16 million of new monies from the jurisdictions at this table. And I want to say, I'm sure everybody appreciates that, and I just want to make that as a comment. Now, is there further discussion before we vote on this motion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and this motion is approved unanimously. Now, Mr. Benjamin.
Also, in our committee meeting, which just concluded, we did review the proposal for the expenditure of the funds under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and reviewed the items within that. I move that we amend the capital budget to include the $202 million to be received from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, and to approve the projects that are shown in Attachment A. You do have in front of you a resolution with the attachment.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mrs. Hudson. Is there discussion? I have been asked on behalf of the District of Columbia to raise a question, which is it possible to have it understood that you will be meeting, if you haven't, and apparently you haven't in the case of D.C., I don't know, I haven't been personally part of this, but may we assume that you would be meeting with the various jurisdictions, you know, to go over this so as that it dovetails with the stimulus monies that each of the jurisdictions are spending, to the extent to which that's appropriate?
We will do whatever you request for us to do. We looked at this from the perspective of just the prioritization that we've done in the capital plan, and I think that was an inclusive process, but we will contact at least the three jurisdictions and set up some form of communications.
Is there any issue with that? I think people are asking for just a little bit of consultation here. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing no objection, then we'll incorporate that sentence.
Okay.
Is there further discussion on this motion? Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The motion carries unanimously. Mr. Benjamin.
That concludes our report.
Thank you very much. Now we move to Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Albert is not here. Excellent. Ms. Hewlett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have two items on the agenda in this anticlimactic report
of the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee. Thank you. The first item being the Shady Grove Access Road bike path. You have before you a resolution. Montgomery County has requested a path, a real estate permit to construct and operate and maintain a bicycle path on metro property at the Shady Grove Metro Station to provide pedestrian and bicycle access to the station. We have a resolution before us.
Are you moving?
Move approval.
Ms. Hewlett moves the resolution, and is seconded by Mr. Benjamin. And we have the assurance that the issues raised by Mr. Gilliland have been attended to.
And we are looking at the blue resolution, not the white one.
It is the blue.
The blue
revised resolution.
But what is the answer to the question I presented on behalf of?
My understanding is that all of those issues have been attended to, and I believe when I asked Mr. Gilliland, he agreed with that.
Okay. Thank you. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it, and the resolution is adopted. Ms. Hewlett.
Okay. The second item on the agenda is approval to authorize staff to conduct a public hearing for the reconstruction of the Southern Avenue Bus Garage. We have before you a resolution, and this is solely for the purpose of a public hearing. And I move approval.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Ms. Hewlett, seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Mayor Yule.
Yes, I certainly support the resolution to send this to the public hearing. With regards to the Southern Bus Garage, the question remains and still is outstanding. This body discussed
Thank you very much for that question, Mr. Yule. And you also have triggered my memory. You can't keep track of everything. But we did also, we're still mulling that rather difficult issue over. And so we would ask for your indulgence and the indulgence of this board for a little while longer for us to have a definitive answer. It's a very fair question to ask, but I just don't have the definitive answer right now. Yes, and I again, I very much appreciate and respect the point of view that you're expressing, but I was also, I'm kind of carrying a little water here for our deputy mayor who was going to raise these issues, but he is not able to be with us today. But the $69 million, which is referred to in the discussion, I don't know if it's in the resolution. Is it in the resolution, the $69 million? But it was the prior understanding of this board, correct me if I'm wrong, that $9 million of this could ultimately be available for those deadhead costs. Am I right?
Yes. Once we selected a site and the site has been identified and approved by the board, yes.
So that we might want to, I don't see the $69 million. I don't know. I haven't studied this resolution as closely as I should have. But I don't see it in the resolution.
It's not in the resolution.
Okay, but let's clarify that point in the description for the future record of this matter. So that the $69 million, while this is somewhat accurate, it's not as accurate, as fully fleshed out as we would like it to be. So if you could just factually correct this for the future purpose.
You're asking, well, for the purpose of the $69 million is not in the resolution. It is in the staff report itself, but the board has taken actions, and there's other resolutions on how we would spend that $69 million once a site or a facility has been selected.
Okay. So we have that as part of the record.
Yes.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Further, yes, Mr. Solomon.
Thank you. Just one brief comment, Mr. Chairman. I support the public hearing on this, but I do ask staff to work with the county's staff, the appropriate people in the county, to get them fully informed on what all of this means. Because many of us have been here for a long time. We understand the history of this move. It was supposed to go to D.C. Village and didn't go there for a number of reasons that haven't really been fully explained. But now it's being asked to go to Prince George's County. And the county needs to know what all of this impact means. So please make certain that WMATA staff work closely with the county staff before the public hearing and after public hearing to understand what this impact will be to the move into the county.
Absolutely assure you that we will do that.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the resolution is adopted. Ms. Hewlett. Thank you very much. And now we can proceed to the administrative items. Is there a motion to approve all of the administrative items in block, Mr. Zimmerman?
I move that the board approve the recommendations of the general manager as contained in the items, administrative items 10 on block.
Okay, so that would be, it's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman, seconded by Mr. Benjamin. That would include item 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Is there discussion on those 8 items? Is there discussion? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it, and each of those approvals have been adopted. Now we proceed to the reports by the various jurisdictions. The District of Columbia, Mr. Giancola, I would just like to add to that, and this has already been mentioned, but we're very excited about the fact that our new 16th Street Express Bus service, which, if you permit me a momentary indulgence, which is fully funded by the District of Columbia, will commence on Monday, March 30th at 10 a.m. at the intersection of 16th Street and Columbia Road, and various officials will be there for that event, and it's quite exciting. The, as has been pointed out, the 16th Street bus routes are the third most heavily used bus routes in our system, 16,000 riders a day, and this will help relieve bus bunching congestion and everything else. And then I also want to say that on April the 20th at 10 a.m., my committee at the Council, the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, will hold its WMATA budget hearing, and Mr. Cato will be in attendance, I assume, at 10 a.m. on April the 20th. And that concludes the report from the District of Columbia. From Maryland, do we go to who?
Ms. Hewlett.
Ms. Hewlett.
Report.
And from Virginia, we go to Ms. Hudson. Mrs. Hudson.
Thank you. I'm just briefly, the general manager referenced in his report the West Docks garage opening, and I just wanted to again mention for public understanding that this is a very innovative and I think helpful collaboration of WMATA and the jurisdiction of Fairfax in this new facility. It's the closing of the Arlington garage and the co-location of WMATA and the connector services in what we call our PSTOC, Public Safety and Transportation Operations Center in Fairfax County. And the co-location not only provides for us the transit co-location, but also the public safety regional effort that we have throughout the region. I hope that our board members will have an opportunity to visit it. It's a facility that provides us not only some environmental improvements, but opportunities for training and other services that both organizations will benefit not only on efficiencies, but effectiveness of service delivery to our organizations.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mrs. Hutchins. I now move that the board meet in executive session to discuss legal and contractual matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman numeral 6B and Roman numeral 6 D. I will note that we will convene an open session of the board following the executive session to act upon any item discussed in executive session, if that be necessary. And so is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there discussion? Discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And we now will proceed to executive session. Thank you.